I was talking to one of my daughter's friends recently, and she was telling me about the problems that she's having with her boyfriend. And they're both in their early 20s. She's in school, he's in and out of school, working in a job to help pay for his car, living at home with his mom. He's not very well off financially, but you know, he's got a nice little car, he's got a nice lifestyle. She was expressing to me how frustrated she is with him because his life is not moving forward, it's not progressing. He has what appears to be, what he claims to be, big dreams, but he doesn't seem to be taking steps in those directions, and in fact, frequently he seems to be going in the other direction. She went on to say that a lot of her boyfriends had similar qualities, that they seemed to lack confidence, they were insecure, constantly worried about her breaking up with them. They are possessive and jealous and try to be controlling. Now, I've seen these guys up close and I know who they are, and they seem like nice guys. I don't think there's anything wrong with them. I don't think they're, you know, some kind of misogynistic idiots. But I do see that they are lacking in masculinity. And I think that's rampant in our society. I believe that for the last three and a half generations, we have seen a dilution of masculinity generation after generation after generation, until these most recent guys, the Zoomers, these young guys, they really don't know anything about the topic. They're not sure what it looks like. They're not sure how it feels. They're not sure what they're supposed to do. Their natural instincts and urges, they are told, are toxic or are in some way like a disease that needs to be stamped out. And so they're frozen. I hear guys like Scott Galloway, and you know, there's a couple of other authors that are talking about the problems with boys and men. And I don't think it's just a boys and men thing. I think that it's a masculinity thing. I think that we have been stripped away our natural identities, and as a result, many young guys are not sure where to go, what to do, how to do it. If the same thing happened to women, if we all decided that pink was a toxic color and that nurturing was a bad behavior and that organizational skills were controlling, how would they be? You know, they would be in a loss of identity. They would be struggling. So today, I want to talk about masculinity, what it is, how to express it in a meaningful, healthy way, and why it's so critically important to men that we push back against these forces in our culture that are trying to label masculine behavior as anything other than healthy, helpful, and loving. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. Being masculine frequently means taking care of others, but too oftentimes men overlook self-care. What I'm talking about here is making sure that you are feeling and looking your best every day. And that's where today's sponsor, Teague Hanley, comes into play. Teague Hanley has a line of products that are designed to help you look your best day in and day out. And they make it simple. The thing I love most about their products is they're labeled with words that I understand. So there's an AM cream, there's a facial scrub, there's a PM cream. Everything that you need to understand about face care or skin care is right there on the bottle. One thing to really love about it is it doesn't take a lot of time. It's taking about 1, 2, maybe 3 minutes per day, and the whole process is taken care of. Teague Hanley has shipped over 3 million boxes of this product around the world to men. And they have over 25,000 five-star ratings on their website. So men everywhere are agreeing that this product is not only good, but it is a great value. And because they're sponsoring today's video, you can get 40% off and you'll get a $20 free gift for clicking on my link and going to their website. So please give Teague Hanley a try. I think you'll be very pleasantly surprised with her product, the quality, the simplicity, and the way the product makes you look. You know, at the end of the day, it's about looking your best, and it gives you confidence. You know, that's what it is. It's about being confident. So how is it that we got to a place where masculinity is considered like a disease, like it's an ailment that you need to be cured from. How did we go from back in the 50s and 60s where, you know, men like Steve McQueen and John Wayne basically ruled the screens, and now we've got Timothy Chalamet. You know, how did we go from there to there? What happened? Why is it this is happening? Well, I have some theories on this. Let me share them with you. Let's start with, you know, of course, the feminist movement, which, of course, hijacked equal rights and turned it into some kind of ideology. And it was dominated by what I call WULFs, or Western Urban Liberal Female Feminist Extremists. And these WULFs have been driving this agenda way beyond equal opportunity. They've been driving it more into domination. They have decided for themselves that anything that can be considered masculine is a problem. So if a man expresses leadership, he is seen as being controlling. If he is assertive, he is considered violent. If he is risk-taking, he's considered reckless. If he wants to protect and provide, he's considered possessive. So all of these quality characteristics that are innate in being man, in being masculine, are now being marginalized in our society, and so men are not sure how to act. And so what we've seen over the last 60 years is this continuing feminization of masculinity, or of men in general. And so this most recent generation, these Generation Zs, and to some degree even the millennials, well, they're not really sure how to act around a woman. They're not really sure what it means to be a man. And when you look at how boys and men are struggling today, and then you also look at how marriage rates are dropping off the charts, and how how testosterone levels are dropping off the charts, you know, you start to see a pattern here where masculinity has been marginalized in our society to such a degree that young men in particular really don't know what it means to be a man. What are the positive qualities associated with that? And how do they look in the real world? How do these qualities actually show up in a relationship? Because I think that once you start to understand how these qualities show up in relationship, you'll see that these qualities are what women are really, really after. This feminization of masculinity or of men is not what they're looking for. They're not looking for a girlfriend and a guy. I think that with the acceptance of homosexuality in our culture, women have been exposed to a lot of gay men. And they love hanging out with gay men. They love it because they go shopping, they can do stuff, they chat, they do decorating, they have so much fun. My ex-wife had a gay man that was one of her best friends, and he was a great guy. He was a really nice guy. However, that's not the man they want to marry. That's not the man they want to be with for the rest of their life. That's not the man who's going to make them feel safe. That's not the man who's going to protect and provide for them. That's not the man who's going to give them what they really want. And I think that a certain percentage of women are starting to understand that now, but a lot of guys are not in full understanding of what that means and how it shows up in the world. I think a lot of it has to do with the way women have taken over our academic institutions. And so psychology, philosophy, history, all these topics, all these subjects have now got this anti-masculine, pro-feminist bent to them, so that boys that are sitting in these classes are starting to feel more and more marginalized. I remember back in the 1990s when it became a big deal that women were upset that boys were playing with plastic guns. Now, I grew up with plastic guns and metal guns too. I had real guns. And, you know, playing guns was just part of being a boy. It was just who we were. It wasn't something that we were like socialized to do. It was something that we wanted to do. But women in the 1990s got the idea in their head that this was gonna somehow turn their little boy into a mass murderer or something like that. And that is not necessarily true. In fact, if anything, confusing him about his gender identity was more likely to turn him into a mass murderer than buying him a plastic gun. Then in the in the early 2000s, when video games started becoming more and more realistic, oh my gosh, every bad thing a boy ever did was because of a damn video game. And then it became really popular in the early 2000s to start medicating boys. Oh my God. You know, every boy was just too unruly for a classroom, and you had to be on some kind of drug to make sure he didn't disrupt the classroom. Yeah, of course, it's difficult for you guys to imagine, but everything was in color back in the 1970s. Honest to God, it was just like it is today, except that people weren't quite so whacked out. I mean, honestly, we had kids in classes that were disruptive, and teachers dealt with them. You know, they just dealt with them. Part of the problem, I think, has to do with how much free time you have at school. We used to have recess. Yeah, we would go outside for like 10 minutes every hour or so where we could just run around and play. And we had PE, and we would just go outside for an hour and play every day. You know, it wasn't like we were doing some kind of special gym activity. We were just playing kickball, or we would have played pin elimination, which was a crazy game. But, you know, with women taking over academics, they have turned it into an environment where girls thrive, and of course boys don't. And so as boys act out, giving them drugs to make them fit in and numb their brain so that they can fit in has been their choice to, you know, make things right. But really what they're doing is they are giving them drugs to kill their masculinity. That's really what they're doing. Anytime that you want to make a significant change in your life, in terms of who you are as a man, you have to create an avatar for who that man is, and you need to live your life from that perspective. That means if you want to be a more successful, healthy, masculine man who has financial resources, who is capable of handling a healthy long-term relationship, maybe buying a house, maybe starting a business, all these good things can happen to him, then you need to create an avatar for who this guy is. And this guy is going to have certain characteristics. And I'm going to list some of these characteristics so that you can kind of get a sense for what it is you need to do. And then once you have this list of characteristics, you need to shape it to match you. Because I'm just going to give you some basics. I need you to reshape these things so they match closer to who you are, they kind of customize for you. And then I want you to start making decisions from that future perspective, from that guy that you want to be. That guy that you want to be has to be the guy that starts making decisions for you in your life, okay? The first characteristic that you've got to have is you've got to be independent of other people's opinions. It means you're not thinking about validation in any way, shape, or form. You need to be living your life from your perspective, that you are the only one who has to approve of the behaviors and the lifestyle that you choose, no matter what. Number two, you need to have a clear vision for what your life is going to be like. You need to have an idea for what it is that you want for yourself in your life. If you want to have a woman in your life, then you need to get clear about who she is. What is she like? What do you like about her? How does she contribute? If you want to be completely independent, then you need to get an idea for what that's like. You know, living in your mom's basement is not independent, okay? Just FYI. You know, playing video games all day long is not a life. It's just not. It's imaginary. You're playing children's games. If you're going to be a man, you got to act like a man. And being a man means you got to create a life for yourself. And creating a life for yourself means you got to have a vision. And having a vision means you got to give some thought to what do you really want for yourself. It's really not that hard. Just what do you want for yourself? What does your life look like? Where are you going to live? What kind of house are you going to live in? What kind of job are you going to have? How much money are you going to make? Let's think about it. What's your day going to be like? What's your nights going to be like? What are your weekends going to be like? What kind of vacations are you going to take? Think about it. What kind of car do you want to drive? You know, how do you want to spend your free time? Where do you want to vacation? Think about it. What do you want your life to be like? Get some clarity. The more clear you can get, the more tangible it becomes, and the more tangible it becomes, the more likely it is that you can make it happen. But you've got to have that first. Now, as I said earlier, being a healthy masculine man is it's an act of love on a particular level. So what I mean by that is that you exhibit patience and care for other people, especially people who are weaker than you. You can be assertive, you can be aggressive, you can win the game, you can get the good job. You know, being competitive is absolutely a masculine characteristic, but it doesn't mean that you are hurting people. It doesn't mean that you are tearing people down. You can do this with integrity. You do not have to be an asshole to be a masculine man. Just wanna make that really, really clear that being a healthy masculine man has nothing to do with harming other people. You can be a good man and live a good life, and you know, you don't have to do it at anyone else's expense. A lot of guys struggle with making decisions about what's going to happen next. What are they going to do? How is their life going to go? You've got to be decisive. I think it's good to contemplate. You got to have some thoughts. You got to really research some things if you're going to make a big decision. But at the end of the day, you've got to be decisive. And then once you make a decision, you've got to go all in. You've got to commit yourself to that outcome, no matter what. Only change directions when it becomes clear that there's a better option available to you. Otherwise, you stick it out. You do what it takes to get the job done. Again, thinking about who you are in this masculine role, what kind of person are you? How does that person make decisions? Well, that person is decisive. That person knows what he wants, and when he sees it, he decides for it, and he goes for it, and he does what it takes to get it done. You're not playing games with it. Life is gonna be hard sometimes. It's gonna suck. That's just the way life is. Expect it. Be resilient. Life is gonna be hard. No one gets out of this without some suffering. Everyone pays a price. Realize that. Be resilient. It's the hard times, the difficult things that you need to overcome that make you better, stronger, healthier. Don't be afraid of them. Realize that when these things happen, this is your opportunity to shine. Take the initiative. Whether you're leading others or you're just on your own, always take the initiative. Don't wait for someone else to take the first shot. Don't wait for someone else to do something before you move. If you see opportunities, you jump on them. Sometimes you're gonna win, sometimes you're gonna lose. That's part of the game. But don't allow yourself to be tepid and timid when there's opportunities to be had. Give yourself the space to make calculated risks and to take initiative when opportunities come your way. Being a leader means taking the initiative. Being a leader means having resilience. Being a leader also means being able to communicate your leadership, being able to communicate your vision, being able to get people to buy in. Now, you don't require them to buy in, but you can inspire people to buy in to your vision because you're a good communicator. You're patient, you're thoughtful, you are communicative. You're always looking for consensus when it's available, but you're not dependent on consensus. A characteristic that gets overlooked a lot these days is physical toughness. And I think it's important that men have physical toughness. You know, people ask me about politics all the time, and they say, John, are you red, are you blue? And I'll tell you what, I really am more interested in a man's character, or a woman's character for that matter, than anything else. And one of the characteristics that I think is critically important for a representative, someone who is a politician, someone who's a leader, is that they have walked a mile in my shoes to a certain degree. I mean, they've done the hard physical work that I have done in my life. Like, I've mowed lots and lots of land of grass in my life. If you've mowed a lawn, then you at least have some idea. If you've had the hood of your car open and your hands down in the engine and you're all covered with grease and you're frustrated as hell, then you know what that's like. That's something that I look for. If you've built your own fence or your own deck, these are all characteristics that I think make you stronger and tougher and a better man. Debu, get out of there. Come over here. Debu, come. Courage is a critical element in masculinity. And that doesn't just mean like you're a firefighter or a police officer or something like that. It's the courage to face difficult situations, maybe difficult conversations. Maybe it's the courage to say what needs to be said, you know, and to do it with the grace that makes the message come across the way you need it to be heard. Courage means doing the thing that you truly love for yourself, you know, finding that job that you really, really want. Having the courage to hold out for the kind of person that you really want to have in your life, you know, if you're looking for a woman. Having the courage to honor that part of you that needs to live, you know, that needs to actually come out, you know, to be honest and authentic in your own skin. A lot of these things take courage, you know, because it doesn't matter who you are. There are going to be people who are not going to agree with you. There are going to be people who are going to dismiss you. There are going to be people who think that you're not good enough. And you've got to have the courage to just be yourself anyway. And, you know, not listen to the voices that don't matter. That's really critical. We talked a little bit about resilience earlier. A part of resilience, resilience is a part of stoicism, and so is emotional restraint. Now, emotional restraint can be a double-edged sword, so you gotta watch it. Restraining your emotions when you're angry so as not to harm another person makes a lot of sense, you know? Not honoring a real sense of sadness that you have in yourself for fear that you would look less masculine is less masculine. You know, you've got to be authentic. Be authentic. If you are sad, then be sad. You need to recognize that that's what's going on inside you. If you're angry, I think you can be angry, but you do it from a place of control. You're not doing it from a place of, rage. You know, you can't allow that to take over and become a monster. Having the ability to respond rather than react, critically, critically important, especially when you're dealing with women. When it comes to relationships, the most common characteristic that is most commonly associated with romantic relationships and masculine behavior is providing and protecting. This is the one we talk about so frequently. What does that look like in real life? A man chooses to provide and protect for a woman, not because she can't protect or provide for herself. Maybe she can, but frequently, in today's modern age, they can take care of themselves. A man does it because he wants to, not because he has to. Providing and protecting is not a controlling behavior. This is a way to make your woman's life better, easier, to enhance it. The only way that we should be getting into relationships these days is when each party feels like they're getting something from the relationship. There's a benefit. Having a woman in your life should not be something that you need. It should be something that enhances your life. And the same is true for her. She should not be with a man because she needs a man. If she believes that she needs a man, she's fooling herself. If she believes that she needs a man, she's insecure. And the same is true for men who believe they need a woman. They're insecure. Nobody needs anybody. However, it certainly is fun to have someone around sometimes. It can be an enjoyable experience. If each party is approaching it from that perspective and understanding that the opportunity to have an enhanced experience is available to them through relationship, that it's not something that is required. And so your behaviors as a masculine man in a relationship is not something that is done from a position of I have to, or this is a requirement, she needs this. God forbid. No, it's because you choose to. Sorry about that. It's because the experience fits well into your personality. It makes you feel comfortable and fulfilled to provide and protect. It's who you are as a natural guy. And having the opportunity to do it sort of goes full circle, you know? From when your parents provided and protected for you, you getting the opportunity to provide and protect for you, your wife, your girl, your family. It's a very beautiful thing. Leadership in a relationship is another critical element. It's more than just about being decisive and having a vision. When you're in a relationship with a woman, being a leader means getting buy-in. And that means that you're going to have to communicate. You're going to have to get feedback. You're going to have to make some compromises from time to time. But by creating the agenda for what's going to be discussed and what is on the table is a big part of what it means to be a healthy, strong, masculine man in a relationship from a leadership perspective. You don't just go making decisions without consulting. You know, you always have to bring her in. You need to have her feeling safe. Masculine men make women feel safe. Women feel honored. They feel valued when they're with a masculine man. They don't feel disrespected. Healthy relationships are based on respect, mutual respect. Healthy masculinity expresses respect, and it expects respect in return. And it sets boundaries when respect is not being given. So understand that being a natural, healthy man is already in you. It's already who you are. It's the way you were born. All you have to do is allow yourself to be that and stop looking for validation or for cues from crazy people on social media, and certainly not from, you know, Western urban liberal female extremists, feminist extremists, because they don't have your best interests at heart, my friend. They want to see you torn down. And if you turn into one of those guys that ends up with one of those women, it's very likely that you're going to be a simp and she's going to lose respect for you. And she is not going to want to be with you very much longer. Inside her heart, whether she chooses to admit it or not, what she's looking for is a strong masculine man in her life. A man that makes her feel safe and feels honored. And she has given an opportunity to live her life the way she chooses to live it, but within the framework of a masculine man's world. That's what she's looking for. Becoming a masculine man is easy. All you have to do is act as if it's already true. Act as if you're already that guy. See who that man is in your head and make decisions from that perspective going forward. When you think about what a healthy masculine man is to you, what characteristics does he have? How strong is he? How fit is he? How smart is he? How driven is he? What kind of habits does he have? What kind of behaviors? What kind of hobbies? When you start to draw this avatar out of who this masculine man is that you can be, just be him. Just decide that you are going to start making decisions from that perspective. And when you start thinking about what is your life going to look like, you know, how much wealth, how much success, how much happiness are you going to have in your life? Start living your life from that perspective now. Don't wait till it happens at some point in the future. Be that now. Because if you can be that now, you can bring that moment into your experience right this minute. If you're constantly making decisions based on who you have been, you will continue to be that. Do you see what I mean? Like, if you go back in time and look at some of the bad decisions that you've made, and you think, God, what was I thinking at that time? Well, you're the default outcome of all the other decisions that you had made up until that point. So to break that cycle of being the default outcome of what you have been up until now. You've got to create a new avatar for who that guy is, and then consciously live your life from that perspective. Because when you're doing that, you're setting the agenda for yourself. You are leading yourself in the directions that you want to go. You know, you are taking action. You're showing initiative. In fact, you're being compassionate in a way to yourself too, because you're relieving yourself of all that suffering that you would otherwise experience. Anyway, I think I've said enough on all this stuff today. I hope you've enjoyed the video. If you have, please like and subscribe. You know, try out the Teague Hanley stuff. I really enjoy it. I think you guys are going to enjoy it too. Anyway, till next time, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.